We can show you a game. Stories, gameplay, our opinions. Tell me, listeners, now when did you last let your heart decide? We can open your eyes. Take you segment by segment. Over, sideways, and under on a magic podcast ride. A whole new game. A new fantastic kind of game. No one to tell us no, except for empty shelves. We will just keep dreaming. A whole new game. A dazzling game I never knew. But when I cast, it's such a blast. And now I'm in a whole new world with you. Now I'm in a whole new game with you. Unbelievable art. Indescribable feeling. Drawing, inking, and questing on a micro suede game table. A whole new game.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me today is my animated friend, Ian.
That it's me.
We will be your hosts for the podcast. We are honored that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide our somewhat finely crafted thoughts. But in this case, Ian, we're giving our first impressions.
First impressions.
All in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at the trading card game Disney's Lorcana, designed by Ryan Miller, the art done by a multitude of people, and published by Ravensburg.
Disney Lorcana is a two or more player trading card game where players will become Illumineers and use their ink casters to bring their childhood imagination to reality. Players will cast characters, songs, and items to defeat their opponents by questing and becoming the first player to gain 20 lore. Players will truly build a whole new world.
All right, Ian.
Well, Jared.
You have a soul. So I'm going to assume that you have Disney movies that you enjoy.
We do.
That bring you happiness and
always
camaraderie with those that sit on the couch or wherever you might be watching your
that's
movies.
Right. That's right.
I am curious, do you have a top five in no particular order?
All right. Yeah, you can't do that.
Set of Disney movies.
Oh, boy.
And I will caveat before you go.
Okay.
I just remind myself over and over again why I don't do top lists, and yet here we are, because it's
another top list.
I have a top five for animated and a top five for live action.
All right.
And I still feel like I'm leaving so much greatness.
There's a lot.
The list.
There's a lot.
But you go ahead with yours first.
Okay. You want me to, are we doing both of them?
Let's do live action first.
Live action.
We'll finish with animated.
Okay. Live action first. There are so many. I really like their sports movies. I think Disney. And so for the audience, not Pixar, not Marvel, not Star Wars.
Thank you for establishing. These are true
Disney
movies.
Yeah. So no particular order. Enchanted. I really like Enchanted. I'm not into like a bunch of princess movies and stuff. That movie makes me laugh so hard though. The actors are great in that.
Nice.
Solid. Just. It has anime. It does have a little bit of animated in there, and then it's mostly live action.
I would say mostly live action for sure.
Yeah. And then I grew up on this movie. Oh, I had it. Speaking of VHS, which some people may have no clue what that is, but Angels in the Outfield. I had this on VHS tape.
Oh, nice pull.
Angels in the Outfield. I found out that it was truly Disney. Angels in the Outfield. Jason Gordon-Levitt as a child is in this movie. I didn't know who it was at the time, obviously, as a kid, because I was
we had no idea
that he would be a star. But that movie is so freaking good.
It could happen, Roger.
It is so good. That movie is amazing. I don't think it's on Disney Plus or anything, because I think DreamWorks or somebody, some other person had their hand in it, and so it has controversy around it, but it's hard to find. But
dang,
absolutely amazing movie. The Miracle on Ice. I love that movie so much. I really like hockey, and so that one's phenomenal. Just the drama that's in that movie. Another sports movie is Remember the Titans. I feel like our list might be pretty close.
We're at 3 out of 4 on crossovers so far.
Remember the Titans? Phenomenal. It's so good. It has everything in a great movie. And then to get away from the sports, Pirates of the Caribbean. What you got?
This is the downside of not like conversing beforehand our lists are, because they're the crossover is real.
I should have cross-referenced.
It's okay. I will go a step further and put these in order from 5 to 1.
Okay.
One being the best. All right.
I can't do that. So if you can.
The one movie that is not our crossover comes in at number 5.
Okay.
The original Mighty Ducks.
Mm.
As a hockey fan myself.
That is a good one.
This movie really spoke to me. It had an awesome blend of fun, quirky Disney humor vibes, but it also had the rah, rah, get up and cheer on this underdog team that has no business being here, but with the power of friendship and working hard and learning and whatever, they really come together and make their own, which is a lot of fun. Next is Enchanted.
Yeah.
This is one of Anna's favorites. I had not seen it before we gotten married. This is one of the gems that Anna showed me. She's had a few of those, actually, in our marriage. I'm the one that actually grew up more watching TV and movies and that sort of thing than her. But there have been a few over the years, Disney movies in particular, that she's pulled out that had escaped my radar. And they're real gems. So she did an awesome job. But I always love a movie that knows what it wants to be and doesn't take itself too seriously and just has a good time with it. And between the awesome cast and the script, it's just really well done. Coming in at number 3 is Remember the Titans.
Sunshine.
As I'm thinking through these movies, Disney just really knows how to capture a sports movie and how it kind of brings you in as if you're watching an actual sporting event, and you gain a sense of camaraderie with the team that you're watching through the movie. And Remember the Titans does the same thing. And Remember the Titans does a lot of other things too, culturally, that we can embrace as well. But, I really loved the dances and the chemistry and the ways that they brought these people together, and you get to enjoy that story along the way. Fantastic movie. Denzel Washington does an incredible job. Just always a great movie. Coming in at number 2, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I mean, what is there to say? Johnny Depp is incredible. And was put on this earth to be Captain Jack Sparrow.
One of the most magnificent acting jobs ever performed.
Ever.
It's so good.
And I will go further and say that it wasn't, not just one, not just two. I have enjoyed every Pirates of the Caribbean.
Every one?
Every one of them.
Okay, the last two have been rough.
I don't care. I didn't understand the hate. I had a blast all the way through.
No.
I mean, it wasn't one.
1 through 3 are phenomenal.
Yeah.
But after that, I've kind of, haven't kept up.
It's
but
okay.
Yeah.
So and then, of course, Miracle comes in at number 1.
Okay.
I still remember being in the theater, seeing Miracle.
Okay, so you saw it in theater.
And it was like watching an actual hockey game for the last half hour, because the whole theater would get up and cheer.
Oh, that's so good.
It was incredible.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Miracle was it was an event.
Yeah.
But that movie holds up so well.
Because I'm having chills right now.
Yeah.
Literally have chills. It's
absolutely
so good. I just, the Al Michaels announcing and getting on, he announced the game, I believe, but then in the movies also, like, they redo it. Oh, Al Michaels' voice gives me chills. But yes, phenomenal. Man, it's so good. Just 3, 2, 1, the countdown. Oh.
Also, it's one of Kurt Russell's best performances, in my opinion.
Kurt Russell in that movie is phenomenal. Yeah, another great acting performance.
I was talking to one of my Marvel buddies, because we were talking about him being cast in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when that happened.
Yeah.
It kind of ruined it for me, because I'm just watching Herb Brooks as this evil god, and I'm like, what's happening?
Herb Brooks.
So, I've like typecast Kurt Russell in my own mind, but that's my top five for live action. May I go first on the animated?
Yeah, you should. You should. Yeah, you should.
All right. I can't put these in a particular order because I love all five of them.
Okay.
The first one for me is The Lion King.
Yep.
I don't think The Lion King was the first Disney movie that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that was 101 Dalmatians.
Okay.
But The Lion King was the first one that really clicked with me.
Yeah.
Like 101 Dalmatians was fine, but as a kid, I don't know. It was okay.
I love 101 Dalmatians.
I mean, it's great. I'm not trying to crap on that movie. Like,
should preface. There's nothing bad. There's not a single, out of any of these movies, I don't think there's anything that we don't like. So, for me,
I don't know if I can go that far. There's some Disney movies.
Original animated ones?
I don't think so. I think you're correct.
I think original animated.
Sure.
I would say that there's nothing that we dislike. So.
Sure. Okay.
This is just what we put above.
Yeah, so all the music in Lion King, I still remember getting, I referenced the New York trip in the Isle of Trains episode that I went on, and one of the things that I knew I had to do was see Lion King on Broadway, and it took it to a whole new level for me.
That's Hans Zimmer, I believe, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why it's so good.
It's incredible. Mm. And they do part of the show in the aisles when they're like doing the...
What?
Yeah. So when they do the opening scene with the Circle of Life, the animals come down the aisles. It's insane.
What?
It's so cool.
Wow. Okay.
So if you ever get a chance.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'll make the chance.
Next up on my list is Zootopia. This movie blew me away.
Okay.
I love this movie. I knew that I would enjoy the movie going into it.
Yeah.
But the whole way through, I was just enamored.
I have seen bits and pieces. Honestly, haven't seen the whole thing. I've wanted to.
You have done yourself a disservice.
No, I need to. I've seen the parts I've seen. I really like. I just haven't seen the whole thing yet. It's crazy.
Next up would be Frozen. I have seen Frozen more times than I can count.
I'm sure.
My girls love Frozen.
I'm sure they
with
do.
All of their hearts, and we have met Elsa. We have dressed up as Elsa and Anna.
Nice.
We've done the whole nine.
Yep.
That was Frozen 2 was the first movie they got to see in theaters. It was a whole thing.
Yep.
Next up is Tangled.
Okay.
Love everything about Tangled.
Dang, there's so many things. These are not, our lists are very different on this
one. I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, it's very different.
I'm actually hoping that you don't have this next one because I think it's a bit underappreciated.
Okay.
But it might be my favorite Disney movie of all time.
All right.
I think it's so well done.
Okay.
Meet the Robinsons.
It is a very good movie.
It's incredibly well done.
I really do like that movie. Yeah, that's a good movie.
I love how the hero goes on his journey, mm-hmm. and then the villain, the quote unquote, gets to have his redemption arc as well. It's so good.
I do like that movie. I do. Is that your?
That's my five.
Okay. Was that no particular order, or was that number one? It's hard to name a number one.
I really think that might actually have been my order.
Meet
like
the Robinsons is number one?
5-1, Lion King, Zootopia, Frozen, Tangled, Meet the Robinsons.
Okay. Wow.
I'm going to boldly own that.
Boldly own.
And
you heard it here first. Meet the Robinsons is the best Disney movie, according to Jared.
Guys, it's so good.
It's his favorite.
If you have not seen it.
It's very good.
It is well worth it.
No, it is very good. I don't know. Yeah, no, it's very good. It's not on my list, but it's very good. Oh, dude, we don't have one that matches.
That's great. I love it.
Yeah, we don't have one that matches.
If you had seen Zootopia, it would be on your list, but you haven't.
I haven't. I've seen bits and pieces. I will say all of those are, I mean, they could easily be on here. I love all those movies.
Well, so we were talking about this.
I didn't see them either.
Yeah. We were talking about this before the podcast, right? About the whole point of this question is going to flow into us talking about this game.
Yeah.
Because the game also has a plethora of options.
Right.
And I think you can have a really great experience no matter which adventure you choose to go down.
Yeah.
So what is your five?
So in no particular order, at number five, No, just kidding. In no particular order. Man, Peter Pan. I love Peter Pan so much. Captain Hook. Shmee! 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 Between Captain Hook and Shmee, I laughed so much as a kid at the alligator and Peter Pan. And man, it's so good. I just, there's too many memories of me having it on. I had almost all these on VHS tape, and I was homeschooled, so all I did was, I guess, watch movies. This Disney created my childhood brain into the adult brain that it is. It's really, this is what it comes down to. But the next one would be Aladdin.
Nice.
I actually didn't have Aladdin on VHS, but it was, I had to, like, so every, I would watch it every once in a while somehow. And so there was always this mystery behind it. I did have a video game about Aladdin, though, on, and we're talking old stuff right here, bro.
Yeah.
We're talking on Sega Genesis, there was an Aladdin game. And I played that, and I was like, oh man, Aladdin's so good. I never actually beat the game, but it was so good.
Aladdin made my short list.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Aladdin. There's just so much good about it, man. It's good. Now, Lilo and Stitch. Lilo and
nice.
Stitch, also on VHS tape. I had all these. I love Lilo and Stitch so much. We actually watched it a couple weeks ago, me and my wife. So good. It makes you laugh. The characters are funny. Just this little alien dog thing. It's not the best ever, but I just love it so much because it's so different and so unique. And that I love, there's the Hawaiian like culture too that's there that's like super unique to itself. It's not recreating something else. And you know, Moana, I do like Moana. Moana's really good. That has a whole other like thing there too. But Lilo and Stitch was like, that came, I don't even know what year that, I think that was late 90s, maybe 2000s. That was the first where you're like really dipping your toes into like a whole other culture, I feel like.
2002.
There you go. So
I do remember it being this big swing,
yeah.
Though. It was very different.
They're dipping their toes into some other people's cultures, and I thought that was really cool. And so, as a kid, I didn't care, obviously. But looking back, I do think that's really neat. Emperor's New Groove.
This movie's a mess. I mean,
Emperor's
it's so good,
New Groove
but it's a mess.
Okay, I will put that at number one. I have a number one. The other ones are not in particular order. But number one is Emperor's New Groove. Oh my God, that movie is so good. It's wrong lever, Kronk. Like, it's so good. Wrong lever. Dude, I'm getting all worked up about this movie. It's so good. It has the comedy, everything, the story.
It 100% has the comedy.
It has.
It is.
Kronk is
yes.
The best thing in that movie. But
that is
like,
true.
But Yzma and Kuzco, the redemption of Kuzco.
Yeah. No, it's a great movie. I love it.
I did skip to number one because I have, so Treasure Planet. I remember seeing Treasure Planet in theaters. And I think that's Jason Gordon-Levitt again. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. What am I saying? Yeah.
So go ahead and try that again.
Okay. Well, I said Jason Gordon-Levitt earlier.
It's Joseph.
Yeah. It's no, just leave it. It's fine.
I'll clean it up later.
Yeah. Because I said an Angels in the Outfield too.
You said Jason earlier?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I didn't even catch it.
Yeah, yeah. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, everyone, not Jason, which I may have mentioned earlier. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who is in Angels in the Outfield, is also in this movie. Treasure Planet, I did see in theaters. I had on VHS tape, and I watched it a ton. I just love the story so much. These aliens, like as a kid, aliens in a flying boat and going to search for buried treasure. Oh, and what's the like robot dude's name? That can't remember anything, and then they finally find his brain in Treasure Planet. And why
are you talking about Ben?
Ben,
voiced by Martin Short,
Ben.
Of all people.
Yes, Ben. Oh man, but yes, John Silver. All of them. They're all good. All the
nice.
Characters in that. I remember that one specifically because I did see it in theaters. That might have been my first ever movie that I saw in theaters as like a
wow.
as a kid. It's the one that I have a memory of.
Sure.
My friend took me, and so I wasn't even with my family. So it was like a really big deal because I'm going with a friend to a movie.
You were skipping out.
So like my parents aren't with me. They'll come pick me up later. I honestly don't remember the friend.
Who cares?
Yeah.
They got you in a Treasure Planet.
I don't know. I have a guess of one of like three people, but I don't, if you know who you are,
wow,
message me.
If they're still listening, that'd be wild.
That would be crazy. But I did see it with a friend. They took me, and I'm pretty sure it was at like Opry Mills or whatever. And so we saw it there. Yeah, that one I do remember. And I think it was my first ever movie that in theaters, which is crazy. But yeah.
All right. Well, Ian, I have to challenge you.
Oh, no.
Because I'm recalling a conversation from a previous episode that we had.
Okay.
Where you made the claim.
Oh, no.
That Robin Hood,
okay,
was your favorite movie of all time, which is in fact a Disney movie.
I do. So I have a short list. So I do remember saying that Robin Hood was,
dang,
as a child, I think Robin Hood was like an early child, not like a younger, I wasn't like 8 or 9. These all came around like 8 or 9, probably somewhere in there.
Right.
So kids movies, that one would be the one that I would put above a lot of the other ones. Wreck-It Ralph, too, is another honorable mention. I love Wreck-It Ralph. Wreck-It Ralph.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
Wreck-It Ralph was one, that was another one that kind of caught me off guard with how good it was going to be.
Yeah, it
like,
did.
It was almost a, like, obligation. I like Disney, so I'm going to go check this out.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, holy crap.
And I really, really, the first and second one, I like equally. They're both phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
I really, really like both of them. It's hard for me to put one or the other. But yeah, those are the honorable mentions as far as that goes. But yeah. What a list.
Yeah. So obviously the game and Disney experts, since we've claimed Meet the Robinsons and Treasure Planet.
No, Emperor's New Groove is number one.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. Let me
Treasure Planet would be probably second, but yes.
Emperor's New Groove, which that movie is, dude, I say this with the amount of love that I can muster because I love that movie. It is a chaotic mess.
It is a chaotic mess, but it's so good. Your chaos is
you
phenomenal.
Beat us back here? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, looking at the math, that doesn't make any sense at all.
It's so good. It's so good. And what? That's everything you want. In
it
like
knows exactly what
movie.
It wanted to be. Yep, no, it's perfect.
Perfect.
All right, Ian, how do we play this game?
Oh, you're telling me. Man, this game's wild.
You know, okay, so I have a lot of emotions about this game because of the... Well, we'll get into that later. But
we won't talk about that. Just let's talk about how the game is played.
Sure. So in Lorcana, two or more players put together a deck of cards.
Yep.
The deck of cards will have two of six what they call ink colors. So you have amber, amethyst, emerald, ruby, sapphire, and steel.
Mm-hmm.
Each ink has a different style of play in the way that it works. And generally, the idea is that you put two colors together that will complement one another to be able to put together a game plan to be able to get your game to 20 lore to win the game.
And you don't have to. You could play all one.
Yeah, you could. I don't think it's advised.
Yeah. But you can if you want to.
I will go ahead and caveat on the front end here, too. I'm not a professional TCGer, which stands for trading card game. I have not seriously been in a trading card game since Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah.
I think I was in fourth grade when that happened. I did Pokemon before that.
Correct.
But
yeah, I did too.
We're talking about before the internet was a big thing. Toys R Us was at the height of its power.
Toys R Us. Man, we're going deep dives
like,
today.
This is
things
a,
that don't exist
this was
anymore.
A different time when I was last in a trading card game. This will be as much a learning experience for us as it is for anybody else.
Well, I mean, you can speak for yourself. You don't have to speak for me.
Go ahead. Tell them the last time you were in a trading card game.
I did get some Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards in high school. So that, yeah, that was like 10 years ago. But,
wow.
Yeah. No, I have played. No, no. Yeah, yeah. All I was saying is let me speak for myself and not speak for me.
I apologize for not letting you,
thank you
tell the listeners how much of a novice you are.
That's right. I am a novice.
So once you've assembled your deck has 60 cards or more. I recommend 60 cards because it's already a pretty thick deck. But hey, it's your deck, so you do what you want. You will take turns playing the game. On your turn, typically, once you get past that first round, you ready your characters and your ink. You get set with any of the cards that need to be set into play that were played in the previous round. And then you draw, and then you'll get to play your turn. On your turn, you can add to your inkwell. That is essentially your currency for the game. The way you do that is you take a card from your hand that is marked to be able to be inked. You reveal it to your opponent. and then you put it down into your inkwell. You will never see that card for anything other than ink for the rest of the game. You can spend said ink to be able to play out characters, items, or action cards. Once your characters have been played for the first time, they take a full round to be able to have their quote-unquote ink dry. So you can set those cards into play, their ink will dry, and then they'll be ready to be used at the beginning of your next turn. Once characters have their ink dried, you can go ahead and use them for one of two things. They can either challenge an opponent's characters if that opponent's characters have already been exerted, or they can quest. Either of these actions will exert your character, and then they will refresh at the beginning of your next turn. The goal of the game is to get 20 lore, so you do want to send your characters on quests to gain said lore. Typically, characters will be able to provide anywhere between 1 and 3 or 4 lore. Very rare that it's actually 4, but there are quite a few 1 to 3 options to be able to gain on a one particular quest. But once you've done that, you've exposed your character to potentially be taken out by somebody else. When items come into play, they, and actions for that matter, they happen immediately. There's no ink that has to dry. They can be used right away. There is a variation of action cards called songs. They work just like action cards. However, you can choose to exert one of your characters that meets the requirements to be able to pay for that song for free without having to spend any of your ink. It usually has a pretty cool ability to go with it, and you're able to continue on with your turn. You can only add 1 ink per turn, so the navigation of how to get the right card draw, along with which cards to ink, which cards to hold on to, is a really tense give and take. Knowing when to quest, when to challenge, and when to hold is also a part of this game that requires a bit of a learning curve.
Yeah.
But the game itself, I would say, is quite simple to pick up. It's just a matter of learning how to build that deck and how to navigate the turns themselves.
Yeah, and so, like you said, you draw 1 card at the beginning of every turn.
That's right.
And so you'll use that 1 card. And you start out with a hand of 7 and at the beginning of the game. And you can mulligan some cards 1 time. And so there is a little bit of flexibility trying to get some good cards, get your setup going. And then after that, you'll draw the 1 card. There are plenty of cards in the game that would allow you to draw more cards and get you more cards per turn. But with that 1 card, you'll take the rest of your hand and manage, put cards in your inkwell and attack and play events or whatever, or actions and sing songs. It's more fun when you actually sing the songs. The song cards in this game are actual songs, or at least lyrics of songs from all of these movies that are in this game. And so that's the fun part there, is that you can sing the songs as you wish, which is super awesome. And adds a lot to the theme of this game. With that, you'll be defeating characters. Defeating,
yes.
Not destroying, not killing.
It is
Disney. So we will defeat these characters or quest to 20 lore. If you get 20 lore, you win. That is the only way to win. No matter how many times you can defeat your opponent's characters, it doesn't matter. You need to get to 20 lore.
That is mostly true. There is a chance that if you are supposed to draw a card and you cannot, you've lost the game.
Yeah. I mean, I got through 20 cards every game we played, so I don't know how. I mean, it's possible.
It requires a very specific deck, but it can be done.
Yeah.
But it is not the most common way.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, that'd be a lot of cards, and that'd be a lot of controlling from both players.
Yeah.
Of preventing you from gaining this lore. On average, you're gaining 1 lore at least every turn if you're playing characters that are out.
Depending on how you play.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is a game where, to give you an idea of play, we got through it in about half an hour, mm-hmm. a little bit longer. So the games clip pretty fast.
Yeah.
And so the idea of going through 60 cards would be a lot longer of a game.
That would be a long game. So yeah, anyway. So with that, each, and you said this before, what's the classes, the aspects, what are they called in this game?
Well, they're the different ink. You mean the different ink colors?
Yes, they're inks. They're called inks.
They're inks, yes.
Okay. So they're different inks, aspects, categories, whatever you want to throw a bracket around them.
Wow, you're just throwing any old word out there.
Yeah, exactly. I have heard aspects. That's something that I'm familiar with terminology-wise. but you have the ability to use two of these inks into one deck. And it's recommended that you do, like we were saying, because the one just each at ink has a specific way that it plays in the characters that are in there and the cards that are in there. And so all of them work really well inside that, but sometimes you want to pull some cards from other things to really create the synergies and the balance, the combos, honestly. Sure. There's so many.
Well, and each color has its own strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
And so you want to, like I said before, you want to find those two colors that really work together to be able to pull off the overall goal that you want to do to be able to make that deck really sing.
Yeah, and so within all of those, though, there's a ton of characters, a ton in each one. I know there's a Mickey Mouse basically in every one, mm-hmm. I believe. So like there's a Lilo and Stitch in one of the inks. I think it's Amber. And I don't think they're both in other ones. And so they don't all like, there's not one in every category. There's some in others.
Right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's only like two colors for Elsa.
Yeah.
One or two colors for Anna.
Right.
I think Rapunzel's in a couple different colors. So that sort of thing.
But like Mickey, I think Mickey and Minnie are probably go across a couple different. I know Mickey goes across all of them. I'm pretty sure.
I think you're correct.
Yeah.
It's also crazy to me because I feel like, so there's 204 unique cards across the six inks with this first wave. And I feel like they've barely touched the surface of all the things they could do, not even counting Pixar and other properties that they might bring in.
This is, again, just Disney, not Pixar, not Marvel, not Star Wars.
Yeah, and I don't imagine Marvel or Star Wars makes its way into this.
No, I can see Pixar.
I do think Pixar will be here eventually.
Yeah.
So if you're curious of what we're talking about with a trading card game, you essentially have a new wave of cards that comes in every 3 months or so.
Yeah.
You're not required to buy every single card. And typically what ends up happening is people will kind of figure out what kind of deck they want to play using the starter decks. And then when they go to look for cards, they can buy singles or trade with others to be able to get the cards that they're looking for to be able to put the deck together that they want. And that's how they play.
Yeah.
Because there's just no way that you can buy every card. Unless this is like the only game that you play forever in the rest of your life. It's just not how it's designed.
Yeah.
But, So there'll be multiple waves. Ravensburger has said that they will be releasing once a quarter. The next wave is December. Due out in December. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah.
Right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so Ravensburger is the company that's publishing this. And so they've done a lot of other games. They do a lot of board games. I mean, the one that I know is like Puerto Rico and
San Juan, Castles of Burgundy, mm-hmm. Bora Bora. There's a good list here, and it's hard to tell. Some of them they've just helped with the distribution.
Okay.
But they do have quite the catalog. They also are really big into puzzles. Mm-hmm. You've probably seen that before.
Their puzzles are good. Yeah.
Yeah, their puzzles are good.
They're a very, very large company that do a lot of different things. They do a lot of board games though. And so they're creating this where I don't know who does I know Wizards of the Coast does Magic the Gathering, which is another. So if you've heard of Magic the Gathering or know anything about Magic the Gathering and Pokemon, this is the same structure, is that there are going to be some starter decks, and then there's going to be booster packs. The booster packs are completely random, and there are certain rarities within the cards inside that pack, and you get a foil card and like whatever. It's that kind of model. And so there's no guarantee of what you're buying as far as the packs wise. The starter decks have, you know what's in the starter deck. That's always the same, but not all the great cards are going to be in the starter deck. There are going to be plenty of other cards. That's just to kind of give you a taste of what that kind of wave will be. And then from there you'll have to buy the packs. So with that, the designer himself is Ryan Miller.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yep. And so he did work with Wizards of the Coast before. Speaking of which, he also, created another, he started his own company called Sabretooth Games. I'm not sure what they've done, but anyway, he was actually a former U.S. Army specialist in Washington, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
Then he got into and all this gaming stuff. So he worked with Wizards for a long time and probably was part of Magic for a good deal of time, at least anyways.
Yeah, and he was in on the Digimon card game as well, okay. From what I'm seeing here, as well as some other games. Yeah. He's, but I've heard some interviews from him about Lorcana. Mm. He's just super passionate about Disney and about making a game that can be accessible to play by a wide variety of people.
Yes.
And he's very passionate about making a very balanced game to where, you know, you can pick up a variety of cards and be able to compete and making a game balanced.
Yeah. So no, he is super passionate about the Disney, but yes, about this game and it being a solid game, mm-hmm. not just a theme slapped onto a trading card game that doesn't play well. They want it to be a good game. And I think in general, yeah, they definitely did that, but, and we'll get to our thoughts in here shortly, but it's cool to see somebody that is passionate about Disney try and put a game out there that is very good, that it's also like not, I'm not always for trading card games, because again, we're haven't really been in that game in a, the game in a while, but I think this is a great model for this. I think this is a good model for this game.
Yeah.
I think this is a good model. I think it works really well because of the just the mass amount of possible theme and characters and story that you can pick from. There's just so many. And any other game, if you put it into a box and this was it, it wouldn't have enough. I just think there's so much to do with this and they're going to do with this that makes it really interesting. And so it works well with that because there's just so many characters. I mean, there's so many characters right now and it's just the first wave. So mm-hmm. I'm curious to see where it goes from there. And I know that, what is it? The artist that did this, there's not really an artist.
You can't label it. So with trading card games, they end up passing out assignments to a variety of artists.
There's no way
because the amount of cards that end up in these games.
And this art, to give a credit to the artists. It looks exactly like the movies. I don't know what they did as far as like the art. It looks like it was pulled from maybe shots from films in some of the pictures and some of the characters. But
I imagine that was a case by case basis.
Yeah.
What we can do is we'll post. I think I saw a page that had what each artist did.
Okay.
And so I'll post that link in the episode description, and people can go check that out.
Nice.
But with that, Ian, let's go ahead and transition into what we liked about Lorcana.
All right. Well, would you like me to go first?
Sure. Jump in.
Yeah. I really like this game. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. No, I do. This is a good game. This is a great, it's a great, fun, light, in a way, card game that is quick. And that's the thing. Is that once, I think we played our first game maybe 45 minutes, but there's the last two games are 30 minutes.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. The combinations, I haven't even scratched the surface on creating decks, which is the fun part of this.
Well, and to jump in quickly, I would even say the extra time was not learning the game, mm-hmm. it's learning the individual cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to collect all the cards, which we have a little specific circumstance that we were able to have access to all the cards.
We can talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Because this is going to come up later.
Okay. We'll go ahead and mention that before I continue.
So we are recording this episode on September 1st, which mm-hmm. is the official street date release for this game.
Yeah.
So we have not had a chance to get our hands on the game itself, which I will go over later because I think that's a very big part for anyone new to looking into this needs to know about. But I have taken the time to proxy every single card and four copies of every single card so that we could generate real decks to see what this game felt like. It's a very common practice in trading card games. Obviously, they can't be used at tournaments or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But like I said earlier, when you're kind of figuring out what kind of deck you want to use, proxies are a great way to be able to kind of figure that out and for casual use at home.
Yeah.
They've even said, I don't know about other companies, but I know that Ravensburger has said, yeah, we expect people to use proxies. Yeah. Like, that's just part of this.
Yeah.
So.
No, and so normally you can have up to four cards of the exact same card type.
Correct. Like, yeah, you could have multiple different types of a Rapunzel or an Elsa in your deck.
Yeah.
But only four of a particular version.
And there's a lot of, there's already a good amount of a specific versions of different versions of certain cards. So there's like already like four different stitches and Elsa's and whatever. So with that, we were able to really look at a lot of the different options, and there's so many. I just threw something together, and that's the fun part, is that you're going to look at this and you're going to buy cards and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, that card's really cool. How do I make that work in my deck? And so that if you're into deck building, this is going to be for you. If you like deck building games and maybe not trading card games, I still think this might be a good, if you want to kind of dabble a little bit into it, I think the deck building part is going to be awesome because it's a trading card game. So deck building is part of the game. To get into specifics though, this game, when I first heard about it, just caught my eye in my ear, because the one thing that I hate about trading card games is that you sit there with a deck of 50, 60, whatever cards, and you draw one at a time, and you draw one at a time, draw one at a time. And the only thing to pay, you have to draw resource cards into your hand and then spend those resource cards from your hand or put them out as a, you know, mana and magic. And you have to draw those cards, and you waste a slot in your deck as a resource card. That, I cannot stand it. I hate games that do that. That's why I got out of that is because it drives me crazy, because I'm sitting there, I'm building a deck, and you have to mathematically equal, okay, I have to have this many resource cards in my deck and this, then blah, blah, blah. It's too much.
To clarify, you're meaning a card that is only a resource.
Yes.
That's all it is.
In those games, you have to put cards in your deck that the only, most of the time, they are specific to just being a resource. That's
right.
All they do. They do not have any other effect. There are circumstances where that's not the case, but in general, as a general principle, that's what you have to do. This game does not have that, and that is why it caught my eye, because any other game that I've played where it's a card game and you can use the cards in multiple ways on your turn automatically makes me interested in the game. And so that's what you do with these cards. There are some cards in there that are like characters that cannot be put into your resource
inkwell.
Pool, your inkwell. But a lot of the cards, and you could build an entire deck of cards that you could use in inkwell. I'm sure that is a strategy that you can use. But with that, every card that you pick up, you draw one card on your turn. You are more than likely going to be able to either choose to use that card on your turn or not, or save it for later, maybe, if you don't have enough resources right now to pay for it. But you can always use the cards in your hand. And that alone just drives so much about this game that I love, is because that allows for so many options and so many decisions every single turn. Because you have a hand of three cards, you have five in your inkwell, and your inkwell replenishes every turn.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like some of the other games where, you know, I spent these resources, they're gone forever. They're there every turn, they reset, I get them back every turn. And so the more the game goes along, I get even more and more ink in my pool. And so it gives me even more to use as the game goes on. I get even stronger.
Yep.
It really ramps up. And so that's just something that I love about this game, is because you just have so many decisions to make on your turn. And it's based off what the other person's doing, how they're playing the game, how my game's going. Have I only had just a bunch of cheap characters? Okay, well, do I just stick with that, or do I save up for like a really powerful, Lilo and Stitch combo? You know, I don't know. But there's just so many different ways to go about it. And that's honestly, there are other things that I like. The art's great. All the characters are super unique, whatever.
That's the thing.
That is the thing to me. Everything is created from that fact. Everything that I love about this game comes from the fact that I can use cards and build decks from the having options on my turn and using those cards for whatever I really want. That's alone drives everything about this game that I love.
And we really saw that when we moved away from the starter decks, because when we just tried it out with the starter decks list just to kind of get a feel, you're like, okay, this is the throwaway card. Like, it was very easy. But once you have a deck of 60 of all cards that you really like,
right,
then the choices really start coming together.
Like, oh man, I love all three of these cards.
I want this, but
I have to put something in my pool to create an engine. Yeah,
for sure. No, I think that's really good. I will say for me, the biggest thing that I really like about this game is its simplicity. Yeah. I have already played this game with Faith, my six-year-old. She can read, and therefore she can play. And we talked through the game. She picked it up really quick. She ended up winning. She did a great job. I don't know if she could I don't know if she could build a deck on her own right now.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit more complex.
It is a lot.
But at the same time, like, you and I just grabbed colors and then picked out cards and threw it together.
Yeah.
So obviously, I don't know how well that would hold up against someone who's really experienced.
Sure.
But for casual play at home, I think that there's a lot of potential there to be able to teach your little ones how to play, to be able to play with your kids, to be able to let them kind of learn and grow in that way. And, you know, I mean, like I said earlier, I was into Pokemon, I was into Yu-Gi-Oh! Those were all fine. But I know a lot of kids love Disney, and it's very age appropriate from like 5 or 6 on.
Yeah.
And we had a great time with it. I also love, in that same simplicity, how fast it goes. You can definitely get through the game in half an hour.
Yeah.
I imagine once we know our cards, 20 minutes. And you can just,
there's games where I feel like you could like just zoom through both sides. Like, it'd be a close game, but you're like, boom, 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 boom. Oh, we're both at 19 lore. Let's go. So yeah, these games could ramp quick.
Yeah, for sure. So that to me is its biggest draw. And that was a really good draw, because I will go ahead and say that I'm not a big fan of TCGs.
Yeah. No, not in general.
I just, they don't draw me in. I had friends that tried to get me into Magic, and I was just like, I'm not feeling it. I don't like the business model that comes with TCGs.
Yeah.
And it can be a money sink.
Yeah.
And what I have found is it can also be a time sink. I was pleasantly surprised at some of the things that I did really enjoy. And there is a good game in there that can be enjoyed by a wide variety of people.
Yeah.
I've heard all about people that were like, I don't play games, but I love Disney, so I'm giving this a shot.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's great.
Dude, nobody spends money like Disney fans.
Yeah.
So I know that they were trying it out. And there was a pre-release at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
Sold out within an hour.
Yeah.
In typical Disney fashion. And people were talking about how much they love the game.
That gets me excited, because I hope that potentially drives you to other games. I think that's awesome. So having something like that, that stretches even a Magic player that only plays Magic to Disney, and you're like, okay, well, what's the next? You know, it's good to see something in the gaming world that is kind of going across all different types of groups. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Do you have something else to add for something you liked, or do you want to move into what you didn't like?
No, I think there's a lot that I like about it, but you know, we can move on.
Okay. Ian, what did we not like about this game?
There's a lot to also not like about it, and it's not because of the game.
Yeah, let's preface, because I really debated actually making a separate episode.
Okay.
And I don't know how we feel about this, but I debated making a separate episode because my issues are not with this game.
Sure.
But I think we're in a space where we can just go ahead and talk about it, because I don't think either one of us really have critiques with the game itself.
No, I think so. The critique will be that it's a trading card game, and that I cannot get the cards that I want. Hold on a second. Availability is a strong issue right now. So let's say I have all the availability to go to the store and do whatever I want. I have to pay money and to find the cards that I really like. I have to buy boosters until I find it. And so cool. That's a great experience.
Or spend a lot of money to buy singles.
Buying on eBay or there's other retailers where you can go pick out the cards that you really like, but the really rare cards are going to be now thousands of dollars on some of them.
If you were to buy it that way, that's correct.
Then, I mean, you're talking hundreds to $1,000. I know one from Gen Con sold for $4,000. So that's crazy.
And
so,
absurd.
Yeah, that's just unacceptable, honestly. And that's just crazy that something would sell for that much. But so if you're looking for a specific card, you might not find it. And that's it with availability. And now, unless you go pay for it, but if you're trying to find it, you're going to have to find it in a booster pack and hope that you get it. And that means you're buying a ton of boosters and getting a bunch of cards that you're getting way too many cards that you end up not using at all. You have to give away or sell or whatever. So it's a good thing and a bad thing, because you're going to end up buying packs upon packs and not getting a cards that you really don't want anymore, because you have so many of them and then you don't like, and you know, you have like 12 of one card. Like, you're never going to, you can only have 4 in one deck. So Yeah, it's the trading card model that makes it really tough. It makes it something that I definitely don't love because I just want to get the cards and I want four of each and boom, that's it. So it's just problematic in that regard. But it's kind of it's the good and the bad at the same time, conflicting.
Yeah, I mean, my critique is also that it's a trading card game, but I want to take it a step further.
Yeah.
So right now at release, finding this game
impossible.
It feels impossible.
It's impossible.
I mean, I know that there are some. I have seen people get it.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. So for those that don't know, when you go to your Targets or your Walmart or whatever,
and that's where this game is sold at,
and you see those trading card game aisles with the Pokemon cards, Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic, whatever, those are not supplied by Target and Walmart and whatever. There's a third party that comes in and stocks those particular items. Mm-hmm. So even though today was the official release date, they could have come anytime this week. They could come next week. So you don't know.
No clue.
And I went to four different Targets and two different Walmarts today.
Yeah.
Not counting this week, today.
Yeah.
And there's nothing.
Yep.
When you look online, there's nothing. Unless you're going to eBay. And then you're paying some scalper five times what it should cost.
More than that, like 10 times.
It's rough.
Yeah.
And
I've got, yeah.
There's always going to be scalpers.
Yeah.
Like that will always be the case no matter what the game is. Ravensburger screwed up, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because you knew this game was going to blow up because it had the Disney label on it. The game could have sucked. Absolutely sucked. Yeah. And it would have gotten through the first wave.
And it would have, there would be this many people buying it.
Yes. So you could have either quadruple your print run.
Yeah.
Or you could have taken pre-orders and known exactly what kind of interest, at least from your hardcore crew,
right,
was coming.
Yeah.
And you could have printed that and then some. And you'd have made so much more money.
Yeah.
Now, there's people out there that are probably saying, Jared, you're an idiot. You have no idea the economics of a trading card game.
What are you doing?
And you're probably right.
You have no idea how to run a board game business.
However, I will say, being in board games, when you put out a pre-order, you know what happens? People are like, oh yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And then it just shows up on their doorstep and they talk about it and it grows and it becomes this big thing.
Here's the funny thing is that you make more money because you know how much you need to. Wow.
Wild.
Mind blown. Because if they knew how much they needed to sell, they would have made three times the amount and then made three times the amount of money right now. They've made three times the amount of money if they would have printed it right now.
Completely agree. And completely agree.
They're going to lose out on money because people can't get this game and they're going to say, I'm out.
And the risk is, yes, that's the risk, is that people just say, well, this is not the game for me, and they move on.
Yep.
And so what I will say, we wanted to go ahead and do this because it is release date.
Yep.
And so we wanted to go ahead and give first impressions. I would love to be able to come back once a quarter and give an update on how we feel about this game.
Yeah, we should.
Because I love it.
Yeah, we should.
I love that my kids are playing it. Ian, I envision, when I first saw this, my vision was that my family of five could all play this game together.
Yeah.
And I hope that is something that can happen.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody's building their own deck, doing their own thing.
Oh, that'd be so sick. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
There's multiple ways to play, you know, and so there's lots of variety. And so we'll see.
Yeah.
But again, I think Ravensburger really screwed up here.
Yeah, I think there is just, it is not available. And yeah, you've gone to just today a bunch of places. I've gone this week just to see. I stopped at a Target today. And so, man, I follow groups and whatnot on people finding it, and they're like, yeah, I bought all of it. I'm like, well, great. No offense, 100% the offense. Don't be one of those people. Don't be one of those people that is buying all of this game at somewhere and then just selling it on eBay. That's like everything wrong.
If you are going to do that,
do not
brag about it on social media.
Yeah.
You're making no friends.
Yes. Yeah. Don't, if you are one of those people, please, for the sanity of everyone around you, don't brag about how much you bought and how much you're going to make. And I did the math. It was funny. I saw this post today. We're going way over on this time.
I hate this post, by the way.
This man, he's like, yeah, I bought this and this. I bought all of it. He basically bought 12 of he bought 12 boost or 12 starters and two booster packs.
No,
cases.
Booster boxes.
Booster boxes.
24 a piece.
Yeah. He dropped like $500 on this thing. But I did the math. If you do a price increase on eBay of like 20%, you're only making like an extra couple hundred dollars. So you're buying this game and creating a disparity for everyone else to have fun for a couple hundred dollars. Like, hell, I'll just give you $100. Like, I don't care. Like, I will give you a couple hundred dollars. Like,
you heard it here first.
I like, that's, you're going to create a disparity in this game and people wanting to buy it because you want to make a little extra money. It's just mind boggling. And this all stems because they didn't make enough product, honestly. Like, that's what it comes down to. And the price gap, that happens with every game. It's normal, but it's worse right now.
When there's no product.
Because there's no product, and it's worse because it has a Disney label on it. And so it's just worse than any other type of game.
Because there are Disney collectors that will spend the money on it just because they want it in their collection.
Yeah.
They're not ever going to play with it.
It bothers me so much.
They're just going to,
It's truly sad. Like, it's truly, truly sad that people who want to be able to play this game are not going to be able to play it. And
not for a while.
Yeah.
So the plan from Ravensburger is that there will be reprints that are supposed to drop sometime between December and beginning of January.
I heard October is a possible they're starting.
I mean, maybe a couple of like some stuff at like local game stores. I just can't see it being enough to really meet demand though.
Yeah. Well, they say they're starting now. It's September. So October, is pretty early. But they say it's, they said the last quarter is when the reprints will come.
Right. And you can go ahead and I don't think you can pre-order yet, but I'm hoping that somebody does pre-orders for Wave 2, which is supposed to happen before the end of the year, so that it's in time for Christmas.
December.
Right.
1st, I think.
Yes, December 1st, if everything goes well.
Your big stores is the plan. So it'll be a couple weeks before that if you're doing game stores.
Yep.
But the big stores will be December 1st, so before the Christmas rush.
I know that we didn't really dive too deep into this game. Like I said at the beginning, this was kind of a first impressions. I do hope that they figure out the stock issues because I think that this is a very fun game.
Yeah.
And it's a very accessible game from a gameplay standpoint.
In theory, should be accessible just easily all the time. You can go when you go pick up your groceries at Walmart and or Target or wherever you shop. Those are the main two. I mean, you can pick up a booster and boom, like that. Just and they run. I think $5.99 is kind of
the MSRP.
Yeah, so $5.99 will be most of the places that you can get them. They have been marked up recently. Yeah, I mean, you can pick it up just one booster if you're one of those people. That's kind of my more thing of like, as I'm there, pick up one or two and just slowly collect. I want to have it all, so that's the problem.
You have to go in accepting that you cannot have it all.
Yeah.
There's no, even if you collected everything for this wave, it's going to keep coming.
Yeah, no, the fun, and I, if you're not into trading card games, I recommend getting, get your starters and pick up some boosters, but then just slowly buy some boosters as you go on. And I think that's the fun part of like, I bought two boosters today. Let's open them up and play with the cards that I get in there. And that's a whole thing too.
Well, I would say too, you could do what we did. You can Google Lorcana proxies.
Yeah.
And there's people that have already made all kinds of files for you to print out. I know it's extra work. Like, you don't have to go as crazy as I did to print four of every card.
Yeah.
You can just print out some of the stuff that you want to do.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I 100% endorse people trying out something before they dump hundreds of thousands of dollars into a product.
Sure. Totally.
And especially if the publisher is not going to do their due diligence to put out enough product for everybody to buy.
Yeah.
So absolutely don't feel like you have to go out there and spend hundreds of dollars.
Please don't. This game is great, but not worth something like that for yourself and the stress of that. So don't do that. But it is, if you find it at your store, pick it up, pick up a starter. If you have somebody interested, like give it a whirl. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah. I would say if it's just two of you, I would say even if you can only buy one starter deck, take that, split the deck in half. Each of you take one color. and just play.
Yeah, if you really
I think you can get a taste just doing that, and that's only like $20.
Yeah.
So
not even. I don't think so. Yeah. And it comes with a booster pack in the starters.
That's true. Yeah.
It comes with a booster pack in there, so you actually get a couple extra cards. So you never know what you might see.
And I did mention earlier that there's multiple ways to play. One of the ways that trading card games kind of changes things up is if you did like a drafting game. So the way it works is you pick up a number of booster packs to be able to make a deck. And then when in Lorcana, the way they're doing that.
Six pack or five.
Something like that. Five or six packs.
It's 12 cards in each pack. So five. You need five packs to make a deck.
So the difference is that when you draft cards, inks don't matter. So you can play with all six inks if that's what you end up with in your booster packs.
Gotcha.
And you just kind of put a deck together. You'd probably take six packs so you can kind of pick which ones you want and that sort of thing.
They have like all this organized play stuff.
Yeah, they've got all kinds of stuff. There's tournaments, live events, and you know, all these things. So it's a deep dive if it's something you want to get into, or if it's just something you want to play at home casually, like that's cool too.
Perfect.
So anyways, all that to say, I know this was a bit of a unique episode.
Yeah.
I feel passionate about this because I love what this game can be.
Mm-hmm.
But I am really displeased with the way some of this has been handled to this point.
Yeah. It's
been a mess. And so I don't think we need a grade or give final thoughts yet. Like we'll come back to this and talk about some point.
I think it's a great game. We'll come back and do a final kind of maybe a more conclusive, decision on it. But overall it is a solid game. I really, really like it. All these other things. I mean, if we go 2 years in the future, are probably not an issue anymore.
Sure.
And so this game is hopefully. Awesome.
Yes.
Overall, solid game. If you see it, give it a try. I think it will be worthwhile.
And if not, you can sell it.
Yeah. And you could sell it for a lot of money. You know, you can be one of those people. So but don't be one of those people. But yeah, be one of those people.
Just don't tell anybody about it.
Just don't post it on the socials. Thank you. Thank you, the Game Table Podcast.
Oh, man. Well, hey, thanks for listening. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, or if you just want to talk about trading card games in general, I've done a lot of research diving into this game. I'd be happy to talk through it. We can be reached. I'll send the... Well...
But yeah, let's try that again.
That was a big old bleh.
What a spicy episode, everyone. This episode has been spicy, though.
Spicy.
Very spicy, very very passionate.
Yes.
Good and bad, actually. It's
been a roller coaster ride.
It has been a true roller coaster. It feels like a Disney movie. That's what this feels like.
Wow.
Our review is like a Disney movie.
Our meta knows no bounds.
I will say, please let us know in the comments or on our socials.
We don't have comments. Not yet.
We do have comments. Well, yeah, no, we have comments on our socials.
On the old IG. Yeah. I'm never there.
We have TikTok too. Yes, please let us know.
Yeah, TikTok.
Yeah, please let us know on either TikTok, Instagram. We have a Facebook page.
You know, if Jared has done his job, we have a Discord as well.
We will have a Discord.
So that invite will also be in the episode description
as well.
That's
right. So please comment. Let us know if you find this game and you really like it, or if you hate it. Just don't post like you bought like 12 boxes or something. But please, if you want to, let us know if you found it and if you got it. We would love to hear from you and that you're playing this game. That would be awesome. So please keep an eye out on our socials and comment away.
Perfect. Thank you, Ian. That was great. We do also ask... No, that was bad. We do also give special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder who made the music. Until next time, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Wrong lever!
I am always right. Even when I'm wrong, I'm right.